Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the special edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Smith. I promise you I'll be coming at you probably every Monday and Friday. Obviously, I've had my political show every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airways of SiriusXM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124. That is not the case today. Today, this is especially for my YouTube channel, Stephen A. Smith's YouTube channel. So I just wanted to get into it. I know I promised a long time ago that I was not going to talk about this individual named Jason Whitlock. There are exceptions to the rules, unfortunately, from time to time, and this is one of them. Because obviously, once again, it's him, so it's no surprise, crossing lines, lying, all of this other stuff, because he is just a despicable human being. I call him the devil in the flesh, because that's what I believe about him. And that certainly hasn't changed. For anybody that wants to know my true feelings about him, you can defer back to my podcast from last year. And it's right there for you. I'll make sure it gets posted so we understand exactly what I feel about this individual, okay? But nevertheless, although I swore I would never talk about him, I really swore that I would never talk about him the way that I talked about him the other time, because it was excessively belligerent, to say the least, when your pastor's watching, when the CEO of Walt Disney's watching, and the bosses at ESPN is watching and stuff like that. Although I own and operate this channel, I have to be mindful of the fact that I don't represent myself, but I represent other people that I do business with. And sometimes it could be a bad reflection on them. That's not something he cares about. Because that's the kind of human being, if that's what you want to call him, that he is. But nevertheless, I think differently than him, which explains why my career trajectory is where it's at and his is where it's at. I'll get into Mr. Whitlock in a second. But before I do, not comparing the two, because I don't know the next individual that I'm about to talk about that well. I just know that David Portnoy has been highly successful. Barstool and other things that he has done, I respect the man. But he was on, you know, demanding an apology from yours truly because of something that I had said about Drake May. Before I touch on that for a second, let's hear what Mr. David Portnoy had to say about yours truly real quickly so you'll know where I'm coming from. Play it, please.
He's also a liar. He's also a liar. First Take is the number one morning show, 13 years and counting. Don't tell me you are an athlete and you don't know that. Don't tell me you an athlete and you don't know that Cam Newton ain't on the show. You lying.
All right, busy day here, but real quick, got to defend the wall. Just came across my desk, Stephen A. Smith called Drake May a liar. A liar. He called him a liar. This all stems from Cam Newton, who he can have opinions. Cam Newton can say whatever he wants. He said the Pats are fool's gold because easy schedule. And they asked Drake May about that comment. He's like, I don't even honestly know what show Cam Newton is on. And then Stephen A. Smith on First Take calls Drake May a liar, challenges his manhood. You don't call a man a liar. He owes him an apology. And by the way, Stephen A., the rant, he's like, part of the interruption is the number one show. Everybody knows it. Those have had the same two hosts forever. First Take, since Skip left, it's been a revolving door. People in, out. I hand to God, I had no idea Cam Newton was on that show. I didn't know the other guy, the Steelers guy, who I'm forgetting his name, who's always apologizing every 3 seconds. I didn't know he was on that show. I see Orlovsky on that show. I know Stephen A. does First Take. I got no clue who his partner is at this point. I had absolutely no idea Cam Newton was on it. I didn't even know Cam Newton worked for ESPN. I thought he did his own gig.
Come on. David Portnoy. Come on, bro. Come on, man. I mean, really, y'all? I mean, I was, again, my take was my take, but in terms of calling him a liar, saying, come on, don't act like you didn't know that Cam Newton was on television talking about you. You don't know where he's at. Yeah, he has 106th and Park. Yes, he has 4th and 1 podcast. Sure, he's on First Take. I wasn't being serious about that. Come on. Listen, Mr. Portnoy, who I respect, by the way. I respect as well. I don't know him personally, all right? but I respect the hell out of him. This is no disrespect. This is no shade. Every time I've met him, he's been nothing but a gentleman to me, okay? And me to him. I got nothing against him whatsoever. I'm just, come on, man. With all the stuff that come out of your mouth, David Portnoy, Dave Portnoy, with all the stuff that come out of your mouth, I mean, you're going to sit up there and demand an apology over this because I said he lying? Come on. Mr. Drake May and his family. Look, you want an apology? Come on, man. I was playing around. I wasn't playing around about my take. But in terms of you lying when you said that you don't even know where Cam Newton is, I didn't believe that, but it was no big deal. My bigger point was that you're an athlete and Cam Newton is a former all-world athlete, number one overall pick, carried the Carolina Panthers to a Super Bowl berth, Heisman Trophy winner, undefeated record at Auburn, national champion. You know who this man is. Don't act like you don't know. And as a player, to say that about another player is dismissive of their take just because they may be disagreeable with you. There's no need to do that. Look out for one another in that regard. You can feel what you want, say what you want. Ryan Clark was right about that. But the point is that so many people are matriculating to the world of sports, commentary, and what have you after their playing careers are over. Respect the hustle. Because one day that could be you working in television or whatever. That's all I was saying. That's it. Dave Portnoy, come on, bro. You on the air talking about demanding an apology. Now, I will admit that you are a New England Patriots fan, and obviously you are right. Y'all are relevant again. You finally got a quarterback. But come on, bro. You know I wasn't being serious about that. And with all the stuff you say and the stuff that comes out your mouth, the way it comes out of your mouth, I mean, damn, I am PG compared to you. And you were demanding an apology. Stop it, bro, okay? But no problem. You're a New England Patriot. He is balling. Y'all are balling. Y'all could win the AFC, no doubt. All right? So after all of these years of struggling, y'all relevant again? Props to you. Leave it alone at that. I'm going to leave it alone at that. I ain't going to even go no further than that. All right? Again, I don't know Dave Portnoy like that. I've met him a couple of times, but I respect him. I respect the hustle. I respect the grind. I respect what he accomplished. And I'm certain, and I respect how supportive he is about his own community on a lot of different issues. Let me say that as well. So props to you, bro. But let's not go overboard with the apology stuff over something like that. Come on, man. I'm challenging his manhood. Stop. You're just attaching far too much seriousness to it than that. I didn't mean it like that. Come on, bro. I mean, you're going to get at me or something. Could it be something more serious than that? Come on, man. Come on. Let me move on to a more serious subject that has nothing to do with Mr. Portnoy. And this has to do with this Jason Whitlock dude. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't like him. All right? I don't have any respect for him. But unlike the whole Michelle Beadle thing where there is no history whatsoever to justify the level of venom and vitriol that would warrant somebody saying they're praying for my demise, Jason Whitlock and I do have history. So does Jason Whitlock and most other black journalists in this business. Not to mention a black athlete. And you have people that may not like what I say, but I don't get personal. I don't engage in the level of denigration that he has engaged in. I don't work for Blaze TV like he does, trying to come across as if I'm this paragon of virtue when we know how sleazy you've been for decades. I have said before, and I will say it again, he is the devil in human flesh. Going near him, taking showers and baths, ain't gonna cut it. You can't wipe the level of filth off of you that going near him attaches to you. He is that bad of a human being. And needless to say, he's also desperate. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you to show anybody he makes more money off of than me. Now, I got a couple of people sitting here with me that have nothing to do with this conversation. We were supposed to be taping something else. It's my nephew, Josh, and it's my partner, Kevin Frazier, here. We were supposed to be taping something else. And then I got wind of the stuff that this man said. And I said, y'all gonna have to sit here and wait. Because, once again, even though I swore I'd never really, really try to talk about him again, and I haven't, because the first time I spoke about him was after he was attacking me for 14 years. Just like when Michelle Beadle got on me, it was after 11 years. But with Kevin, who's my partner, he's a co-owner for Straight Shooter Media, and my nephew, Josh, who obviously is like a son to me and is always watching my back, even when I don't want him to most of the time, okay? I could not let this go. So I'm not asking them to comment. They can sit right here with me while I say what I got to say before I move on. But I wanted them to hear why I had to alter today's show to address this, especially Josh. I ain't even asking him to say anything. I just wanted him to hear what this... My pastor's watching. Let me be here. My pastor's watching. I'm not going to go there. I want him to hear what Mr. Whitlock had to say while he appeared on Sage Steele's podcast, our former colleague at ESPN. This is Jason Whitlock with Sage Steele. Play this, please.
Do a deep dive on Stephen A's book and the way he went after his father in his book, as opposed to what he used to say about his father in interviews. And you can go look up in the late 1990s, early 2000s, what Stephen A would say about his father. No criticism at all. Mostly praise of his father. Certainly no criticism. And then he comes out with this book where he basically says he had an absentee father and he can't stand his father and it's all about his mother. That's trying to put Stephen A in the feminist lane, in the support of the matriarchy lane. I don't know if it's true or not. You know,
yeah. It's his story.
Yeah. Who knows? But I have looked at previous interviews from the late 1990s, early 2000s. He had a completely different narrative about his dad than he does now. And so everything about Stephen A, from his college basketball career to his early career as a sports journalist, it's all been managed and assisted by forces that, you know, early on, it's like hard for me to say, how could Bob Iger or how could, because they didn't even, Disney didn't even own ESPN then. But, you know, so maybe the early stuff in his journalism career was authentic. And then when he got sent away and banished from ESPN, I think when he came back, he came back and told him, I'll do anything. And they said, okay, now we got you. Now we have you right where we want you. And he offered himself up because he, you know, not being famous, he'd rather be dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, Josh, you heard that?
Yeah.
You heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Frazier, you heard that, right?
Steve. Can I just say something so that people understand that?
I'm going to respond, but go ahead, real quick, go ahead.
Both Sage and Jason, we have known for years. The circle of Black journalists is incestuously close. We have known each other since the very beginning. So to question each other's origin story is insane because we were all there. I was there when you were making your way up. I saw each and every step. I saw each and every step of Sage, and I saw a lot of steps of Jason. So to question that, knowing how tight that circle is ludicrous, and that's for clicks. That's for clicks and desperation.
Let me say this before my nephew chimes in. Kevin Frazier, you don't know this, even though I wrote it in my book. I never spoke negatively about my father because my mother asked me not to. My mother's exact words to me was, do it when I'm dead and gone. Don't do it when I'm alive and I have to live with the words that you have to say about your father. What I did in speaking about my father was talking about what he did and the effect that it had on our family. I never said that I didn't love him. I never said that I hated him. I never said any of those things. What I said was I resented the impact that it had on our family and my mother, but I never spoke about it because my mother always asked me to be quiet until she was dead and gone. Am I telling the truth, Josh?
Yeah, you're telling the truth. I mean, you want me to chime in or?
No, I just want you to say what you have to say before I lay into him. Okay. I just want to give you a word because that is your grandmother and your grandfather. So I just wanted to give you an opportunity. I thought it was inappropriate for me to just speak on it while you're on camera and not give you an opportunity to say something. So go ahead and speak.
Well, you mentioned earlier, protect your brand and stuff. So I try to keep it as clean as I can keep it because, like you said, he is talking about my grandparents. And, yeah, if anybody thinks that you're making up anything, I'm the person out here now that could pretty much stamp what it is that you're saying. And when he said you had nothing but high praises for your dad, that's a lie. And I love him with everything in me. And if that's a lie. Like, that's the biggest lie. And if you're going to say that, then I wouldn't put credibility into anything that he's saying.
Okay. Now, sit back, y'all. Just recline while I deal with this dude once and for all. Okay? That wasn't all he said. He had a lot more to say. Before I go any further, let me stay here, though. This same dude, ladies and gentlemen, working over there at Blaze Media, trying to come across as he's some paragon of virtue. And he brings up God a lot. Tell me what's God like about what he does. He talks smack about people. He ventures into the personal. He swears up and down he knows stuff he can't possibly know. He does all of these things. And he hides behind a cloth of truth. This is what he's trying to swear that it is. But never telling the truth about himself. How are you acting before you got a job at Blaze TV? What proclivities did you have, Jason Whitlock? We could talk about other people's personal life, but we don't want to get into yours, right? Looking like a damn walrus. This is who you are. The lion ass that you are. Ladies and gentlemen, this dude literally tried to say I lied in my book. Did you contact Amy Bell from Simon & Schuster? Because you see, they fact check everything. I'm a New York Times bestseller. I know that hurts him to hear that. You want to be in media. You want to be in front of the camera. I work for ESPN. I work for SiriusXM. Plus, I own my own platform. Who you working for? And by the way, you're working for them. Why? Because you can't get a job anywhere else. How come Fox won't hire you? How come ESPN won't hire you? How come CBS or NBC won't hire you? How come you can't get a real job? You don't talk about that. This is the kind of stuff that happens. He has gotten to a point where if you look at him, the only way he's making money is off of talking about me. He talks about me all the time, y'all. He talks about me all the time because you're not where I'm at. You know, you the dude that slide tape recorders under hotel doors to try to listen to athlete conversations. That's the dude you are. You're the dude that sit up there and lie all the time, every chance you get, and go about the business of undermining people in your professional career. There's a reason, ladies and gentlemen, you can say what you want about me, but you notice that you'll see me at basketball games, you'll see me at football games, you'll see me at boxing matches, you'll see me at UFC matches. You know why you don't see Jason Whitlock there? Because he can't show up in public. Because he's scared of what's going to happen to him. Because that's how many enemies he has because of all the lies that he has told. Especially about black people. This is the devil in the flesh. I'm talking right now to the people who work with him. Y'all are next. I'm not talking about from me. I'm talking about from him. He turns on everybody. He will lie. He will deceive. He will do everything. Satan is his father. When I said what I said about him, he tried to call Winston-Salem State acting like I was lying about having a basketball scholarship. That's, at least that's what they told me. Do you know what else he did? Are you ready for this? Put Kevin and Josh back up on the air because I want to see their face when I said this. Do you know he called my pastor? Pastor A.R. Bernard from the Christian Cultural Center in New York. Jason Whitlock called him trying to get him on the show to talk about my personal life and my personal revealings to my pastor. When we talk about despicable, how despicable can you be? This man, every time I turn around, the fixation on me. He went on Sage Steele's podcast and talked about me for 18 minutes. I just got off the phone with Sage Steele because I had to get permission to show the clip. And she said, quote, I was shocked at how much he continued to talk about you. She didn't say anything bad about him. She just said, I was very shocked because it was unsolicited and volunteered. He just wouldn't stop. I'm paraphrasing. Because he can't stop talking about me. Why don't you tell him the truth, Jason? It's the only way you can make money. Because that's how useless you've become in mainstream. You don't even talk about sports anymore. You talk about people. You don't have to get out there and do any reporting. You don't have to get in somebody's face. Do I need to talk about when you was on Patrick Bet David's podcast and how you were supposed to make an appearance with Roland Martin? And you found out at the last minute it was Roland Martin that you had to sit on the set against, and you ran out in the street all discombobulated and foggy to the point where they had to grab you off the streets from getting run over by a car because you didn't know where you were because you were so petrified of having to sit across from Roland Martin and debate him about the politics that you spewed. We want to talk facts? This is Jason Whitlock. This is who he is. I'm not going to call him what Matt Barnes calls him on the smoke. I'm not going to talk to you about what people think about him. I'm encapsulating it by saying this. Stephen A. Smith is everywhere. You got a boxing event. You got a UFC event. You got a basketball event, College of Pros. You got a football event, College of Pros. You got First Take on the road. You got First Take on HBCUs. You got SiriusXM on the road. You got SiriusXM in the nation's capital. The stuff that he talks about, I'm talking to those people. Ain't nobody trying to come sit down with him because he's useless. He's just blowing into the wind with the breath that he has left in his fat ass body. This is who he is. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is this, with all of that going on, all of that stuff that's happening, here I am minding my business, never bringing him up. And all he does is bring me up because it's the only way he can make money. Jason Whitlock is hurt because I'm where he wants to be. You were a columnist in Kansas City. You came to ESPN and was handed the reins to the undefeated, which is now Andscape. John Skipper gave you the reins. You alienated Rob King. You alienated Leon Carter. You alienated Jerry Bembry. You alienated a whole bunch of other people that worked under you. You treated people like trash. You thought that when it came to black folks, you were the only person that could get things done when you got nothing done. The site never got off the ground until after you left. You went into business with supposedly you were supposed to be connecting with Clay Travis, and you blew that. Meanwhile, Stephen A. keeps climbing, never bringing you up. And you've discovered that the only way for you to make money is to talk about me. And then don't have the decency to tell the truth. My book was written by me, every single word. The audio book, every single word. Fact checkers at Simon & Schuster. You don't become a New York Times bestseller, and you're not a book that they promote if it's a bunch of lies. Amy Bell is the chief editor over there. Call her. She told me to tell you. Feel free to call her if you want to know facts. You know they want me to write another book too, right? I know that hurts you. I just want you to be careful, because when you take a deep breath, it looks like you're going to fall over and croak. I'm not wishing that upon you, bruh. I take that back. I'm not wishing that upon you, Jason, because you ain't no bruh of mine. One of the most despicable human beings. You're going to bring up my father and then question the veracity of my words as if I got to lie, especially to somebody like you, who's less than a damn roach. One of the most despicable human beings, a roach, a rat, got more of a soul than you. You lie all the time. You denigrate all the time. You insult all the time. And then got the nerve to bring up God. It's what he does. Don't believe me? Play some more of what he said, please.
I do think you have some similarities now to your friend Stephen A. Smith.
I do?
Yes, because you both catch heat from both sides.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't find Stephen A.'s political talk authentic.
No, I don't either.
And so I don't know what to make of the heat he catches, because I don't know why anybody would give him much heat about his political positions, because they change so often. And so I get like people like, I got a biblical worldview that doesn't move. And so I get why people, sometimes people think I'm self-righteous, and then they go, but man, this guy talks about his own failures and problems and all of that. So I'm not really self-righteous, but man, you've given... Stephen A. deals with something different than I do, because I think none of Stephen A.'s positions, in my view, are authentic. And so the heat that he catches doesn't feel authentic either. It's like that's his job.
I think he's very strategic.
Enough. Say, Steele, you're absolutely right. I'm a strategic individual. Kevin Frazier, have you known Sage Steele to be strategic?
Very strategic. I've known her since the beginning of her career. I knew her before she got to ESPN. We had the same agent.
Right.
And so,
by the way,
we worked together.
We're not saying it is
strategic.
A bad thing. Aren't you?
We're all strategic.
Aren't you strategic?
Very 100%.
All of us are,
100%.
Right?
100%. We all are. We wouldn't be where we are. You don't get to the highest height without being strategic and working extraordinarily hard.
Let me tell you what's wrong about what you said. There's one person that ain't strategic. Jason Whitlock. He ain't strategic. That's why he at where he at. You see what I'm saying? Because the man napalm bridges at ESPN. He napalm bridges at Fox. Okay? So he napalm bridges wherever he's been. Ain't nothing been strategic about him. He napalm bridges with Clay Travis. Ask him. He's napalm bridges now because of the smack he's talking. One time after another, we continue to deal with this stuff. And this is what I'm talking about when I say, how much do y'all expect me to take? The man brought up my father. In the past, he's called my pastor. Okay? He's called my institution. Still trying to find stuff on me. Now we're going to get into the authenticity or lack thereof about my political takes. I'm a centrist, y'all. I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm a social liberal. And I keep an open mind because I don't believe that one side has all the answers. It's very, very simple. They're acting like I didn't say anything when I was at ESPN. I let my feelings be known. But in the end, certain things just never got discussed. The climate had something to do with it, absolutely. The way we could talk about so many different things now compared to what we could do 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. That's across the board industry-wise. The advent of podcasting and YouTube shows. These are all the things that have an effect on this kind of stuff. But everybody's ignoring that, except him. But he's the paragon of virtue now. I mean, if you listen to him, he's as close to Christ as anybody. And he's one of the most evil, most despicable human beings that you will ever find in your life. Does nothing but talk about people. Does nothing but talk down to people. Nothing. Nothing. And then somehow, some way, all of a sudden, he questions the authenticity. Let's get to the issue of jealousy. When he talks about politics, nobody cares. When he gives social commentary about issues that doesn't pertain to one of us, nobody cares. When he talks about journalism, nobody cares. He think because he was a columnist for the Kansas City Star and he was tight with the late Marty Schottenheimer that all things are gold. There's plenty of people that he couldn't talk to. I remember one time, he was at Fox and he was upset that he couldn't have this parking space or whatever. Why do I bring it up? Because it's a funny story. Because he wanted to look and see what parking spot it was, and it was a parking spot for Skip Bayless. And he had a problem with it. What he didn't tell y'all is he almost croaked because he got on his knees to look under the car to see what parking spot it was, and his big behind was struggling to get up. You understand? That's why they still laugh about that stuff. See, these are the kind of things. You want to get high, you want to get low, it don't matter. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this. Say what you want about me, but I've always been me. I've always been me. And when it came to him, the same person who has no credibility, the same person that who is he and all of this other stuff, it's the same person he was clamoring to work for him. Could I please talk to him? Could I please help him make the undefeated successful? Reaching out to Isaiah Thomas. Didn't compel Dan Le Batard to talk to me, but certainly cried to him, along with various others. I had no words for him because he'll stab you in the back. He cannot be trusted. You can say what you want about me. When you heard somebody say, I can't be trusted. Where you heard somebody say that I take something off the record and put it on the record. Where did you hear somebody say that I was a two-faced SOB that you couldn't depend on to be authentic because I was shy about being me? I'd be one place in front of your face and I'd be another way behind your back. That ain't never been me. That's always been him. And oh, by the way, we're sitting up here talking about the black community and all of this other stuff. We use blackness, we use racism and all of this other stuff. Ain't you the one that marketed and advertised yourself as the dude that would call out his own community? Wasn't you the dude that prided himself in being anti-black establishment? That was Jason Whitlock. See, these are the kind of things that people that work with him, because I can't assume anybody's working under him. They work with him. They don't know. They don't know. But I got one more clip to show y'all. Play this latest one, please, and then I'll move on from this subject. Go ahead, play it, please.
There's a reason why Stephen A. pretty much won't leave ESPN unless they push him out is because he has no audience without ESPN. That he's not interesting. And I know that sounds crazy because he has a reputation for being interesting, but no one's going to remember any positions he took, and he doesn't take bold stances. There's nothing, you know, yourself and Riley Gaines and Sam Ponder, people can sit around and say, oh, those ladies drew a line in the sand over a specific issue and dealt with the blowback from that. That's not Stephen A. That's not him at all. He's done whatever is necessary to make as much money in this business as you possibly can, and hats off to him. If that's his end game, there are people that actually do still stand for something in the media, and he's not one of those people. And that's why I think if you take the ESPN name away from him, what's he really saying that people are interested in? He's now running around pretending to be some kind of political analyst, and he just spews talking points, surface level talking points. I watch him engage with some of these people, from Megyn Kelly to any of them that actually know what they're talking about, and he doesn't say anything. And trust me, Megyn Kelly and all the people that keep putting him on their shows, if ESPN goes away, they have no interest because he's not going to say anything interesting.
Okay. What I'm trying to figure out is, isn't he really talking about himself? Jason Whitlock. Subscribe, because he needs all the help he can get, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to tell you right now. Let me look this up. Real Jason Whitlock, at Real Jason Whitlock is where you could go to find him. He's got 572,000 subscribers. He was at over 300 when I started. I'm at 1.3 million. It would have been more if I hadn't spent the first year off YouTube. And it was called No Mercy, and my name wasn't even attached to it, and the algorithms didn't even know to tell you where to go look for me. And I've now more than doubled his following. My television show religiously outrated his. You want to talk about him as a columnist? I was a beat writer. New York Daily News, Philadelphia Inquirer, got promoted about 7 times, became ultimately a general sports columnist. Then I was at CNNSI, I was at Fox Sports, and then ultimately I was at ESPN, where I have been, with the exception of the 2-year hiatus. Where he been? Listen to what he said, y'all. I'm not interesting. What'd that make him? The reality is I've smoked you. Not only have I smoked you, taking you to school and just bust your living ass in terms of popularity, in terms of significance, in terms of cachet, you've been rendered irrelevant. The only thing that makes Jason Whitlock relevant is the shit he's going to talk about people he once worked with. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else. I apologize for cursing. I promised my man Rashawn and Kevin and them I wasn't going to curse so much. I'm trying. I really am. I really am. But what I'm saying is, what's up? Everything I am, he wants to be. Y'all haven't heard me say that about anybody else. Where I'm at is where he was. He wishes he was on Hannity. He wishes he was on Mark Levin. He wishes Megyn Kelly called him more. He wishes Fox called him more. And when they call him, he's usually talking about me because that's the only thing they care about. They're going to ask me about the Democrats. They're going to ask me about the Republicans. They're going to ask me about the shutdown. They're going to ask me about the Affordable Care Act. They're going to ask me about these things. They ask him about Stephen A. because that's the only thing that makes him relevant. Go back and look at his history. You think I'm bad. Go back and look at his history talking about folks in our community. And now you sitting over there with Sage Steele acting like you being prophetic. The reality of the situation is, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to end it by saying this. This man talks about me because it's the only thing left he can do to make money. He can't make money any other way. I would be nothing without ESPN. Well, don't I work for SiriusXM? Don't I have my own daily show on SiriusXM? Don't I have a political show on ESPN, on SiriusXM? Don't I own my own production company? Have we not made some money, Kev, as a production company? Last time I checked, we have. Plus, I have ESPN. What you got? What he has? What man calls somebody's pastor to try to talk to their pastor about the person they're talking about? And what man does so knowing your intent is evil, but you try to involve a pastor into your evil ways? Who does that? Jason Whitlock. Who lies on people every chance he gets? Jason Whitlock. Who denigrates people while bringing up God and righteousness in the same sentence? Jason Whitlock. Ladies and gentlemen, eventually it's going to be y'all. Like I told you before, you can say what you want about me. You see me everywhere. I stand on mine. What I say is what I say because I don't get personal. I stay in my lane. People's personal business is their personal business. I talk about what they do, not who they are. Don't castigate, stigmatize, and generalize. And I don't get personal. For the most part, there are rare exceptions. I'm not perfect with that. But it takes a lot to get me to that point, just like it took this. I'm not going to sit up there and go off and call him out his name and do all of this stuff. I am telling you, the essence, the purity, and the epitome of evil is this man who lies at every turn. All these names. It could be Jemele Hill. It could be Rob Parker. It could be Chris Broussard. Chris Broussard, if he wasn't in sports, the man would be in a monastery. He'd probably be a monk. That's how religious he is. He is a God-fearing individual. Oh, my goodness. You can't talk to them about Jason Whitlock. The list goes on and on. You name a black person in this business, 99.9% of us want nothing to do with him because we know who he is and what he is. He's the devil in the flesh. And everybody needs to be careful because the more you get, the closer you get to him, the closer to hell you will go. There's a special place for people like him. Understand what I'm saying to you. And I just wanted to say that. I didn't want to go nuclear like I did last time. I've said that. Go look it up. It's in my archives. You know exactly how I feel about him. But bringing up my father and all of this other stuff and talking about inconsistencies and lies or whatever, none of it's a lie. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you what is a lie. Some story he told Sage about how I spoke to a group of kids and I went on for 17 minutes about myself when he waved me over to talk to him. I don't know what he's talking about. I have no clue what this man is talking about at all. Another lie. But that's what he does best. So much so, it's breaking news when he tells the truth. Because it's such a rarity. But it is what it is. Only reason I bring up how it don't matter, I can stand on mine and I can go anywhere, because you need to understand that when it comes to him, he can't. He hides wherever he hides because he's scared to be seen in public. Because he knows so many cats want to get at him. Because of the lies he tells and the disrespect he spews. Remember I said that, y'all. Remember I said that. Kev, Josh, that's all I'm going to say for now.
Thank you.
Any final words?
Thank you. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, I mean, if you want to enjoy yourself a little bit, all of this stuff is like just not fun. I'm throwing some Nick parties out here in the city. You're probably going to hear about it once you get back out here. I see you out there enjoying the sun.
Oh, Lord.
And as soon as you get back, like, you know, you're going to have a good time. Like, all of this is just negativity. Like, we got money now. Go ahead, Kev.
You know, Josh, I love you. I just wanted to say that, look, like I said, we all go back a long, long way. And so I hate this. I hate this, the tearing at each other, the people we all started together with. And we came here today to do something totally different. We were going to talk about our colleague, Stuart Scott, and his new documentary. We'll talk about that next week. But, you know, we came here to celebrate people, not to tear people down. And it's tired, man. He just needs to stop. Let's all move forward. It's gotta stop.
He won't stop. He won't stop. I'll stop, just like I stopped until I addressed it today. I'll stop. He won't. Because it's the only way he can make money. He can't get a job. That's what it is. Can't get a job. This is the only way he can make money. So it won't stop. I wish, you know, listen, I would say I wish him luck, but I don't.
He should just get a nephew. He don't got a sister with a kid?
But it is what it is.
He just needs a nephew.
We don't know what he has.
And look.
Let me go, y'all.
Wish Sage the best. Wish Sage the best. And then, you know, it's like, but let's move forward.
Sage ain't no problem, Sage. Ain't no problem with Sage. She's our colleague. We respect Sage. Ain't no problem. We ain't no problem. It's him. My things were about him, not Sage. It's him. Because of the lies and the evil and knowing what his intent is. This is who he is, man. Still salty, man. Still salty that I didn't want to work for you, huh? Still salty that I wanted nothing to do with you, huh? Still salty because my career has ascended and yours is where it is.
Where were you today? Where were you this morning? You were right there. But did you go to Bethune-Cookman too? Did you go to Bethune-Cookman yesterday? How was that?
Yes, I did. That was yesterday.
Celebrating, HBCUs, right?
You know, helping young black kids, generating scholarship dollars for young black kids and all of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go up in DC and sit with Ted Cruz?
I got you.
Yeah, you did.
So yes,
let's,
I did.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
Yeah. Marco Rubio's coming on. You know, Chuck Schumer's coming on. Others are coming on. Right? Are they going on Fearless? Fearless? Fearless. Really? Oh, my goodness. Why don't you show up in public? Why don't you show up around the brothers and sisters you talk about all the time? You fearless, right? Ooh, let me go. I'll let y'all later. Peace and love.